I think it was the chicken lady or the chicken authority was in charge. But, you know, this message is about authority, but not human authority. We're really going to look at authority from God's perspective. What is it? What does it mean? How does it affect us? And how do we move in that authority in a way that honors him? So what is real authority, and what does real authority mean for us? It's a continuation in the series on Mark. The next slide there, what we started, we've been working through the Gospel of Mark called Jesus in the Heart of the City, and a reminder that every time you see red brick that just kind of interweaves itself around all over the city, it's a reminder, like, you know, the Gospel working its way, Jesus in the heart of the city. You know, every time you see a red brick is a reminder to pray for our city, to pray that Jesus would be woven in to the midst of our city. And Keith was so nice. He found a red brick that has become kind of a symbol in my office there, sitting there, just a reminder for me to pray that Jesus would be seen, that he would be lifted up. And the summary of, you know, the audience for the Gospel of Mark here are really two groups of people, the harried and the hungry. The harried meaning those who have been persecuted, who are experiencing pressure, especially those Christians in Rome who were experiencing the ire of Nero, who was persecuting and killing, executing Christians in the gladiator games and in other ways. And Christians who were loving and following God, but were being tempted to compromise that faith in the Lord. So he wrote the Gospel of Mark for that group, to encourage them about how to be a disciple, how to live as a follower, a student of Jesus. And the second group he wrote it for is for those who are hungry, hungry to know the truth of God. Who is Jesus? Is this true? So he presented the facts, just the facts, all the action stories, not a lot of sermons, but a lot of the main actions of Jesus so that people would be ready. And so far, what we've learned in the first chapter of Mark is the two aspects of that is that God's kingdom is here, so be ready. You know, that's in your sermon notes there, just a summary, that, you know, John the Baptist came. Get ready. The kingdom is coming, and indeed, it's here. Be ready. Let your hearts be ready. That was the first message so far we've read in the Gospel of Mark. And the second one was when Jesus began to say to others, follow me, come to me, be my disciple. And indeed, he called the first four fishermen, James and John, Andrew and Simon, leave your nets behind, leave your business behind, follow your calling. And that was what we went up to last week, where Jesus said, 2 weeks ago, follow me. And some of you have turned in your sheets that I gave to you, the information about your calling. How are you called to live out your faith in the Lord? So I want to encourage you, if you still are holding on to that, please turn them in. They're very meaningful. It's been very helpful for me and others in our church as we pray for you and how you're living out your calling to be a disciple of the Lord. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Let's read that together. So it's going to be up on the board, but it's also in your handouts. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Not your typical church service, I might say. But when the authority of God comes in, all sorts of things can happen, and all sorts of things can be revealed. Let's pray one more time before I expound a little bit more on this message. Lord, your authority is real, your authority over disease and demons. And we thank you that that is just a prelude to help us understand truth. You clear the way from those distractions so that we might see you and understand you are the one true God. Lord, I pray that your holy word and your holiness will touch us this day, and we will realize and give you glory for your authority, and conversely, Lord, how you have given authority to us to humbly be your disciples and to heal and to call forth and confront evil in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a dream this week which was kind of interesting. It paralleled this passage in some ways. I dreamt that I was in a pristine research facility. You know, looks like something like out of Silicon Valley. Beautiful building. You know, I visited the Google campus when we lived in Silicon Valley at one time. Beautiful campus, pristine. I was sitting in a room and some of the scientists were talking to me. I don't really understand what I was doing there. I have no business being there. But they were telling me about some research that they had done that was going to be groundbreaking. And they were presenting, you know, PowerPoints and presentations. And at the time, I was very impressed. And then they finished their presentation, and they said, okay, you know, thank you for coming. And it was my time to leave. And I exited the room. Now, I wasn't escorted out. I thought I could find my way, but I got lost. And I ended up going downstairs and down into kind of the bowels of the building. And this building had a basement area that was not so pristine, not so beautiful, not so shiny and clean and bright. It was an area with rough, kind of almost like a driveway, a large airport runway. And there were groups of people, and it was, you know, of all things, it was kind of interesting. There were groups of people, workers, you know, some of the lower workers who were there trying to get lunch. And a number of them were Hispanic or Latino workers. They were standing in line, and I was, you know, I was just watching this and realizing I'm in the wrong place. I need to find my way out of this building. And at the same time, while people were standing in line looking for an opportunity to buy from these lunch trucks that were lined up there around the perimeter of that area, I saw what looked like, you know, it was almost like a forklift or a small truck pulling a trailer. And the trailer was just zooming in without any regard for how it might hurt people. And indeed, at one point, this one truck ran over the last person in line, just crushed from their hip down a woman who was standing in line. And she was, you know, it was obviously a serious injury. The truck didn't even stop. There was no care or concern for this person. But her fellow workers gathered around her. I ran to her side, and we realized that she was, you know, she was bleeding and cut, and there were crush injuries that were present. And I thought, you know, we need to get her to a hospital. And so some of her co-workers, they had a truck nearby. They were putting her in the truck, and then they didn't leave. I thought, well, why aren't they leaving? They need to get her to the hospital right away. But they were arguing and talking with one another and saying, well, you know, if we go to the hospital, maybe they really won't give her care. Maybe it's not really that serious. And I tried to convince them, no, this is serious. She has injuries that are beyond what you can see. It's not just something you bandage up. You know, there are internal injuries that need to be cared for. And, you know, for them, they were afraid that they would not receive proper care or that they would be disregarded, just like they had been disregarded in the office that they were working in. And the dream ended like that. I was very troubled. I woke up, but I asked God, you know, what does this mean? And the thing that it paralleled was that oftentimes there are the surface presentations of the things around us. The things that seem normal and beautiful are facades, if you will. But behind them, oftentimes there may be injustice or you know, things that are not right, that are hurtful, that are causing harm. And you know, we know that that's present in our world. Jesus talked about it in a very real way. And even in a synagogue where God would be worshipped, here is something below the surface. A man who has been demonized, possessed by something evil. Not just one demon, but it seems obvious that there were several. And Jesus, who never looks at just the surface, he confronts and begins to teach and to confront with authority. So the point here that I want to get to is just is very simple, because my message is very short. I really want to give you an opportunity in a sense to be able to pray with the authority of Christ for things that may be going on around you, in maybe places where you work or you go, where God's Spirit might help us to see his perspective. So at some point, some of you, if you choose to, may want to go out and just go around the church. And I'll explain that. You know, not outside the church, but I mean not inside the church, but just on the sidewalk nearby before lunch. I'm going to give you a little chance for exercise. But some of you may want to just stay. That's fine. That's fine. It's up to you. But the two main points that I want to say is this. Jesus' authority is real. And then I'll get to the second one, which is Jesus' authority is real in us. But I just want to say something about authority. The word authority that's used when it's related to Jesus, it's the word, the Greek word, exousia, which is freedom of action. The things that we think about that constrain us, you know, someone who may be an authority in a particular area, they have only particular authorities because we are finite, temporal beings. We're not eternal. We're not infinite like God is. So Jesus' authority is based on who he is. He's infinite and he's eternal. So when he, and if you want to follow along in your Bibles here, when the people see him teaching and he's teaching, the very first thing that they experience is he teaches as one who has authority, not as the teachers of the law. And what does that mean? The teachers of the law would often say, according to Rabbi so-and-so, or these four rabbi here, or this reading that I had, this is the way it should be understood. But Jesus instead just directly deals with the truth. He is truth. And so he directly deals with the truth. He doesn't have to make reference to anyone else. He says, what is the fact that God cares for you, that God wants to have a relationship with you? I mean, I'm not sure of the content of his message, but we know what he lived. He lived his message, that this is something new, that there is a teaching for you that is not based on what your old understanding of the way a relationship with God was, based on how much performance, you know, you thought, if I was just perfect enough, I can get to God. That's really the difference between all other religions and Christianity. The Christian faith is, other religions are some attempt to reach up to God, to try to earn our way or jump far enough or do enough to get to God. But we can never reach a holy God that way. Their gap is just too big. The Christian faith is God reaching to us. And so Jesus is probably teaching in this manner. It's an amazing, different type of teaching. And you know, we live in an age where often that is still misunderstood. There's often a thought, if I go to church and I pray enough, or I give enough, or I take communion, then that makes me good enough for God. None of that is good enough. We do that out of thanksgiving because God has already reached out and offered a relationship to us based in grace, something we were learning in our Bible study this morning with some of the young adults, that it's a gift that we don't deserve offered to us. So that was the kind of authority Jesus had, an authority based in knowing the truth and living the truth. But the second kind of, the other authority is that he had authority over evil spirits. We need not be afraid of anything evil because Jesus' authority is absolute. One time when I was working for Fuller Seminary, just early in our marriage, with my marriage with Debbie, and I went to visit the campus every month. I was living in Hawaii, running the seminary extension program, and every month I'd have to fly to California to go to Pasadena to attend meetings for the directors. And there was a well-known class. It was the miracles class, for lack of a better term. They actually had to cancel that class because there were too many miracles going on in the class. It was led by a Dr. Peter Wagner, and the class would get disrupted because people would get healed, all sorts of things were happening, and people came from outside. Now, can you imagine canceling a seminary class because there's too many miracles going on? But that class was held outside of the normal classroom. And a friend of mine who was attending the seminary at the time, I'd stayed with he and his wife, we had a prayer session with Dr. Wagner and some of the leaders, and it was open to the community. It was open to the community. People could just walk in and be prayed for. And, you know, in front of us, miracles would happen. Just different things would go on. I was asked if I wanted to just pray for some of the people that came in. So we were in small groups, you know, just people just filtered in. And one young woman, you know, maybe in her early 20s, came in and sat down in our small group. And I began to pray for her. And, you know, she wasn't really clear about what she wanted prayer for. You know, just said she was homeless, something was going on. But it was really interesting. I put my head down, closed my eyes, and I prayed. And then, you know, thought that was over. Later on, afterwards, you know, there was no obvious, you know, difference or change. But later on, my friend who was with me, he said, you know, Richard, you know, when someone comes in to pray, to be prayed for, you should probably keep your eyes open if you don't know them very much. What are you talking about? He said, when you prayed, you know, I looked at her, and you while you had your head down, her eyes rolled back, and she snarled at you. You know, she didn't make any sound. But you were not alert to that because you just didn't, you know, you just kind of had your head down. You need to be alert, you know, it's not to say there's nothing to be afraid of, but you just need to be alert when you pray because there are times when things that are below the surface, hidden, pop up. You know, we read the story and sometimes we can dismiss it and say, oh, that was then. There are no things like that now. These things do happen. They've happened when we've gone into other countries and other places. Generally, in the United States, those kinds of manifestations of evil are more veiled. They're more below the surface, and they don't come out quite like this, but sometimes they do. And so we need to understand that Jesus has authority, real authority, over demons. And the second point is, Jesus' authority is real in us. You know, so that we need to exercise this with meekness. And that's the simple final thought for you is that even as Jesus exercises this authority, he says that the Holy Spirit, the living presence of Jesus, if you are a Christian, he, Jesus, comes to live inside you if you are a believer. And suddenly this authority that he has is given to us. Now, it isn't given to us to wield with abandon or without thought. It's given to us to be exercised with meekness. Now, the word meekness is not a weak word. If some of you have ever understood the word meek in Scripture, the word meek is to describe something very powerful that's yielded to authority or control. So the picture is this. Imagine, you know, one of the, you know, you never thought I'd say this word in church, a Budweiser Clydesdale. You know, like, so imagine one of the Clydesdale horses, those gigantic horses with the huge hoofs, powerful, strong, very able to pull a plow. The word meek, it was sometimes used to describe a powerful farm animal like that, that was broken of its willful spirit, its stubbornness to try to resist the rider, the one who rides on top of them. And so a meek animal was one that had been tamed to respond to the rider. I grew up in Texas for part of my life and grew up riding horses in the elementary school, and I learned very quickly which horses were tame and which ones weren't, and learned as I grew up how to be able to control them so that horses that understood the rider and submitted to the rider, that were meek before the rider, would respond with just a little light touch of the reins. I didn't have to pull hard, didn't have to use the quirt or the spurs, but would just respond. A meek horse was very, very valuable. It was strength under submission, strength under control. It was meek. So when we exercise this authority that God has given to us, because you and I, if you are believers, have the ability to confront or to open up in the spiritual realm and face things that are not right, injustice, pain, things that are hidden, according to the strength of God, our strength submitted to the Lord. And that only comes through practice. We learn how to be able to exercise this kind of authority through prayer, listening to God, praying according to his will. And I know this week, one of the things I did as I was preparing for this message and thinking about it was I walked around just this area and just took long walks praying. I know we're doing that as a church, participating in prayer as part of the prayer and fasting. But as I thought about this authority, it was very interesting for me because I needed to remember this lesson. And I began to pray in a very different way. Up until now, when I'm walking around just praying for the neighborhood, you know, I'm praying, Lord, you know, touch the people with your Holy Spirit, you know, just open the doors for people to hear this good news. May, you know, if those who are broken be healed. Now, I was praying that. Those are wonderful prayers according to what God has been giving to me. But when I walked around and prayed this week, thinking about the authority of Jesus to confront evil and to confront what is hidden, it changed the nature of my prayers. When I walked around, I looked at a building, I thought, you know, Lord, are there spirits that are at work here? You know, in the Holy Spirit, I just sensed God saying, yes, there are spirits at work here. Some of them, you know, and I just started to name some of them, you know, there are these spirits. Lord, by the power of Jesus, leave. Stop influencing. You know, and I just, as I walked around, there were different opportunities for that. Seeing people, looking at, you know, I mean, something as simple as a broken path, God prompted me through his Spirit. Lord, are there places in this city where paths are broken and people are being broken by following the wrong path? Lord, by your power, we speak to that spirit, those areas of confusion, leave. Just like Jesus said here, he said, come out of him, be quiet, leave. I don't want us to become so, we can make one of two errors. C.S. Lewis said, you know, his quote in a book, The Screwtape Letters, it's actually probably more famous than the book. He said, we can make one of two errors. We can give so much power to demons and evil that we are so told we're paralyzed by it and we're afraid. Yeah, and so we focus and we see demons everywhere. You know, that's a mistake. But on the other hand, we can become so dismissive and say, well, there's nothing. There's no evil like that. There's no real demons around. And we completely ignore it. What God wants us to do is with meekness, pray and ask him to lead us in how to pray. So, today, what we're going to do is this. I'm going to give you an opportunity. For those of you who would like to, I'm going to give you the opportunity to put on your jackets, go out in the neighborhood for about 5 minutes or so, and then come back in. You know, pray in pairs. But for those of you who don't feel like you're ready for that, I'm going to lead a time of prayer here and just give you an opportunity to pray with someone that you're sitting next to. And I suggest that you pray out loud. If you go outside, you know, praying with somebody next to you, it makes you look a little less crazy if you're praying out loud, you know, with walking with someone, although we'll be in good company in D.C. But if you go out with someone and pray, just ask the Holy Spirit, how can I confront what may be evil, what may be lurking below the surface? How can I call your power, Lord, into this situation? Okay? So if you want to do that, now would be the time. Put on your jacket, go out with someone, and come back in about 5 minutes. Okay? And interestingly enough, the door just swung open by itself back there. So if there's anything evil there, we command you to leave. Okay? But if you would like to pray here, I'm going to lead you through that. All right? So, those that want to stand up, I'll give you 30 seconds to stand up and move out. Otherwise, I'm going to lead us in prayer here. Okay? And those that go out, I expect a report on how things went as we go downstairs into the fellowship hall. Okay? So one more, if you can go to the next slide. Yeah, these are just some of the things that we're going to be praying for here. Okay. And so for those of you that are staying, these are a few of the items that we could start with. And I'm just going to start us off, be silent, and let you pray. And I would, again, suggest that you pray with someone seated next to you. You know, quietly, but out loud. It is much more, it's better, I think, for you as you focus on your prayer, to be able to pray with someone out loud. You know, and just try it, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we lift up this time of prayer. Help us to be meek. Help us to hear your voice as we pray. Tell us how to pray, because we don't want to pray just in our own strength. That's of no use. We want to pray according to your strength. And so for those authorities around us in this neighborhood and in D.C. that may not be submitted to God right now, we are going to pray and reveal, ask you to reveal what may be at work there. And help us, Lord, by your power, to break the power of those authorities. So just wherever you are, pray. Now, Lord, lead us in prayer in the area of idols or spiritually dead pursuits that may be present in the area around us or even in people we know. Lord, help us, give us words, lead us in prayer for how to pray against idols or spiritually dead pursuits. And Lord, now for those fallen angels, those evil spirits that are present, roaming to and fro around the earth and through this area, which is of great influence, in areas which are inhabited by or people who are possessed or influenced by evil spirits, Lord, lead us in prayer. Show us how to pray so that your authority would take control over those situations. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time to pray. May it just be the tip of the iceberg for us as we remember and walk in truth, and that we walk in your authority humbly, meekly. Our power yielded to you, our lips, our words, our hearts yielded to you, so that you may walk in the worlds where we walk, and that your authority may take preeminence over those things which do not recognize you, do not love you, which hurt and harm people spiritually, Lord, may your Holy Spirit shine and speak through us. We pray this through the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I would suggest to you that, if possible, during the course of this week, you consider how you might pray like that. I know last night we went to sleep early and I woke up at about 3:30 in the morning, partly because there were lots of cars outside on New York Avenue and people were in a fight out in the parking lot across the street. It's kind of interesting living in our neighborhood. But I did something I don't normally do. Normally, I would just like, well, where are the police? But I began to pray for the people who were getting into a fight. And there was one particular guy who was, you know, obviously more drunk than the others. And I just prayed, Lord, your Holy Spirit, cast out whatever is evil, whatever is trying to control this man. And he grew quiet. You know, it's God's, I mean, if that was God giving me the thought to even pray for that person in that way. Now, it is up to God as he leads us. In certain situations, we know that people are praying, and for whatever reason, he has not removed the leader of North Korea. There are many Christians praying that evil would leave and stop harming others. But for whatever reason, God's design and use for this season allows for that. So we, again, submit in meekness. It is God who decides how we should pray and what is to be effective. Okay? So I'm sure you may have other questions. We're going to be talking more about healing as we go through the Gospel of Mark and about what that means for us as the authority to heal in Christ's name. And how do we yield that and wield that in a way that honors him? So as we prepare for this offering, I just ask that you would pray and continue to seek the Lord. Lord, we ask that we prepare to take this offering, that you would bless it, use it to proclaim your name in and throughout this area. Use our missionaries that we've sent out into other parts of the world. Use us, Lord, that we might be a blessing to all of those who we see. In Jesus' name, amen.